as Jim rightly pointed out, the biggest story this week has been the sacking of Brenton Sanderson, which none of us in the media saw coming, and we have got the best newsman in footy. So not so good for you, but we've got questions to ask, mate. So let's jump straight into it. When did you first find out? I know you've been back at Moggs Creek for a couple of days. When did you first find out?
It was about 5:30 Victorian time. Our chairman, Rob Chapman, called me and basically delivered the news.
And then
from then on, the media release happened about a half an hour later. Myself and other leadership group members then phoned basically our entire playing group just to inform them if they hadn't already been made aware of what happened with Sander. So that's basically how it unfolded.
Well, what was your immediate reaction then when you got that phone call at 5:30 yesterday?
Oh, your immediate reaction is shock. You don't see it coming, and then you think to yourself, you know, what could have we done better as players? But at the same time, we're very strong on delivering performances, and it's a performance-based industry, and we haven't had that for 2 years.
Paddy.
Samuel.
You and the lads didn't round him up and see him off, did you?
No, we didn't.
You didn't at all?
No, and let me make this incredibly
perfectly clear.
We're not a football club that is run by our players. It is run by the board, by the CEO, who we've just employed. But it wasn't a decision made by players. When our chairman refers to key stakeholders in discussions, players are certainly a part of that, but that happens every single season. It happened last year, the year before that. Players are always consulted on how we can get better. And that's what good businesses do.
So you didn't round him up at all?
No, we didn't.
So it is...
Not at all.
Paddy...
Is that clear enough what you're saying?
Well, we need to delve into it because it is... The narrative around this story right now is that, rightly or wrongly, you and your senior teammates have been lumped together as people that have had and played a big role in this. And it's a damning indictment on the playing group when something like that comes out. So I would imagine when you hear that, and I'm not sure how closely you've followed it over the last couple of days, what you've got to say tonight will be, I think, the first time I've heard from the playing group. So it is important that you get that message out.
Well, it's certainly incorrect. We as a playing group are certainly always consulted on how we can get better.
So did you meet with the board?
Personally, no, I never met with the board. We have discussions at the end of the season, the end of the season exit reviews, and that's Chappie at different stages, that's coaches.
Who's the chairman of the
Rob Chapman, who's the chairman of the football club.
Yep.
And a few others. And you review what you can get better at. And that happens every single season.
At these exit discussions. What did you call it? An exit discussion.
Exit meeting. Which happens at every club.
They ask you, satisfied with the coach and the way he's been handling the squad, and you replied, not you, but you in plural, reply and give your opinion, and there was no dissenting voice at all. It wasn't the tail wagging the dog at all.
Not at all, but... We're here to win. We're here to win games of footy. This season, we've lost... Funny about that. This season, we've lost 7 games by 2 goals. And it's a performance-based industry. If you're not performing, and that's everyone across the entire football club, from administration to playing group to the coaches to support staff, we need the absolute best. And when we're not getting it, then we need to find people who are...
Danger, let me ask you this, because there'll be lots of people watching who'll say, you know, it's been widely reported that Brenton Sanderson has the best win-loss record of any coach the club's ever had. So how has this happened? How's it got to the point where he's now not the coach anymore?
Well, you can't argue with percentages, but at the same time, the last 2 seasons, we haven't made finals. It's as simple as that. We've finished 10th and 11th. Not playing finals will not be tolerated by our football club. That's what we're here to do.
So you can't sack the players or the incumbent coach has
well,
no
players
coach.
Players change every year, Sam. We're not going to sack... It's not going to happen. You're never going to sack 42 players.
No.
But players will move out of our system and we'll get players in that we believe can aid us in playing finals football again.
So it was inevitable... I'm not trying to be a smartass, but it was inevitable seeing it was the second year in a row that you didn't make the finals and you've taken umbrage at the power doing so well, not you, but the whole town. it was inevitable that he wasn't going to last the distance, because making finals, as you just said, is what it's about.
Well, making finals is what it's about, but at the same time...
So it was inevitable.
We as players haven't made the decision. It's a decision that's been made by the board. And they do that in the best interests of our football club.
Have you spoken to Sando since?
Absolutely.
And how did that conversation go?
It was. I have a really good relationship with Sando. I'm not going to go into what we discussed, but I have a huge amount of respect for him. It's never a situation that's enjoyable. No one wants to see someone lose their job, because it affects more than just that individual. But at the same time, it's an industry that once again is about performance.
Do you think he had it on his mind that he'd been done over by the players? Do you think he had that on his mind, whether it be right or wrong?
Well, he spoke today and he said that wasn't the case. I don't believe it's the case at all.
Well, let's have a listen, Foss, because this is what Brenton Sanderson had to say today to that very question.
My relationship with the players is really strong. As I said, I've been really happy with the support I've got from the players in the last 24 hours. You know, my phone's been ringing off the hook, and some emotional players who are really, really disappointed. But as I said to those players, you know, I did fall in love with the group. You know, they were a fantastic young group, and I really enjoyed working with them. And I certainly wish them all the best for the future. I'm sure they're gonna taste success really soon.
It's Brenton Sanderson today. We feel for Sando, of course. It is difficult. Were you aware, Paddy, of any disharmony amongst the senior playing group? You being a leader would be across that, I'd imagine.
There's always discussion in regards to performance when we're not performing well. So is the group happy with how we were performing this season? Not at all. And that was an ongoing basis that we're reviewing every single week. So we weren't happy with the position that we're in, the inconsistencies of our performance. So that's something that we were constantly reviewing. But at the end of the day, at the end of the season, it's been decided, and the board has decided this is the best way for us to proceed and the best way for us to return to September 40.
Well, let's have a listen to one of those board members who was one of the all-time greats of the Adelaide Footy Club, who's now taken over as the footy director of Adelaide. He is a power broker. There's no two ways to look at that. Let's have a listen to what Mark Rusciuto had to say this morning.
I would say that if we didn't make this decision, things could go from bad to worse.
Well, then, from what you've just said, he wasn't a good coach. He wasn't up to it.
Well, you don't get sacked if you...
No.
Otherwise, do you? We spoke to all the key people that you need to speak to, that the coach has got to have relationships if it's going to be a successful football club. Players were one of those groups, and obviously formed part of the reason why he's not there from next year onwards.
You're in partnership with Mark Rusciuto in a hotel with Rory Sloan and Tex Walker. Did you have conversations with Rue about Brenton Sanderson's coaching?
We have conversations throughout the year about how we're playing, but we're never specifically discussing should we sack the coach or not. No, absolutely not. It's not how we do business. It's not how Rue does business. We discuss how the pub's going, how the club is, how we can improve, but never.
Danger, well, I understand you getting angry, because if it's true that the players have done this, then it is a very poor way to behave. So the fact that they haven't, I absolutely get why you're sitting there pretty filthy.
And I don't know how many... I can say it 100 different ways, guys, but at the end of the day, it's a decision made by the board. Will we support it? Absolutely. As a club, we must stay unified if we are to get back to the performances that we've set ourselves and what we reached a few years ago. We must stay unified, and we will stay unified. But at the same time, we're here to perform. And that's the bottom line.
Yep. Well, you couldn't have said it any clearer, and we respect you for your strong opinion, and it is good to hear. I think it's a message that certainly Adelaide Crows people would want to hear. Pretty quickly, the focus will turn from Brenton Sanderson to you again, whether you like it or not. We've seen what's happened with James Frawley, who... he's not in your category of footballer, but he's dominated the discussions throughout the course of this year. You're in a contract at the end of next year. I want to take you back to a conversation you had on Melbourne Radio back in May in relationship to your relationship with Brenton Sanderson.
I think a really important part about enjoying your footy is having good coaches around you, and I certainly think we have that in Sando. He's a terrific coach and a really good people person, so... as long as he's here, I'm very happy to stay.
He's no longer there. The future and speculation about where you will play your footy beyond next year is about to get as big as it was when Gary Ablett was in his final year. Do you understand that, and do you understand how this speculation is going to grow now?
I understand it, but it's ridiculous because at the end of the day, it's a full 12 months away. Taylor Walker, Rory Sloane are in the same position. We love playing at the club. I love playing at the club. We have a terrific group. We're really well supported. So in terms of discussion regarding my contract, Sloane's and Texas, it's premature. At the moment, we're in a transitional period with our coach, and it's not something that needs to be discussed. I love I love the city. I love the club. I love playing there, and that's all that needs to be said.
Very statesmanlike today. It's
been fantastic.
Very strong, good indeed. Yeah. Strong.
Hey, you need a strong purposeful at this time of the year, Samuel.
Take no truck.
I've got one more question. I've got a couple more questions.
No, I've only got one.
And you can answer this in any way you like. And it might be completely wrong, but you're here, so I'll ask you. It was put to me today that you had met and sat down with Alistair Clarkson of the Hawthorn Footy Club.
I actually did, but it wasn't in regards to anything sinister. At the end of the season, we have the International Rules Series coming up. Alistair is coaching that, and it was basically discussions around playing then and performing and who we could attract to the game and how we could really pump it up.
Oh, did he put it to you at any stage about your contract status?
Not once.
Have you spoken to any other AFL club?
I haven't spoken to any other AFL clubs. To any other AFL coaches.
Hey, Danger, before we let you get over there and become a part of the panel and let you loosen your tyre a touch, what about your body, mate? That's the other thing. I mean, up and about, you're, if not the best player in the comp, you're certainly in the top two or three. This is a much easier one for you to answer. But we saw in the back half of the year that you just weren't able to go as you normally would. Are you confident that you'll hit the first day of pre-season and everything will be physically okay?
It's been a pretty tough season. And it's sort of been one thing's led to another. There never really has been a week where it's been sort of
spot on,
injury-free, and then you can just train. So it hasn't been ideal, but I think you'd find most players within the industry are carrying something and are never 100% fit each and every week. But certainly there's a few different injuries throughout the year that ideally won't happen next season and played a bit of footy.
Danger, I want to commend you on the way you've answered the questions. We don't apologise for asking them because they needed to be asked, but your honesty and your forthright manner I think will be much appreciated, and social media I'm told is going absolutely berserk about the fact that how honest and upfront you have been. So we're going to let you off the hook, mate.